anybody, Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Prevenient Act, rounds to begin the day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act. I set all my acts of the day in ordering you. Good morning, Blessed Mother. I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love and the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love and your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Excuse me. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone, and has loved everyone, and has operated, in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done, by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits, with the confidence of a little child. I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath. And as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the Divine Will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your immaculate conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my, yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will and place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth and the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, with my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and Louisa. I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embraced joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and the prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life, all in you, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall be always happy, I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle, so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames, that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, and every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in the same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit, and infuse in me the light so that I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
Volume 18, November 19th, 1925. The divine will wants the company of the creature to be able to enrich her and instruct her, giving her the possession of the good it manifests to her. I felt as though immersed in the immense sea of the supreme volition, and I would have wanted, as my adorable Jesus tells me, to let nothing escape me of all the acts it has done. does, and will do, which for Jesus are one single act, and to be always with this divine will, to give it my little return of love and of thanksgiving. I would have wanted to at least make a long note of all the acts of this supreme will, in order to admire and praise what it can do, and to remain always with it, never leaving it alone. But alas, my littleness is such that I get lost, and I don't know where to grab. I don't know where to grab it in order to follow it, because I find it everywhere. It is always in the act of working surprising things, both in great and in small things. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, coming out from within my interior, told me, "Daughter of my holy will, a child must know what his father does. He must know what he possesses, and he must be able to say to the father, 'What is yours is mine.' If it were not so, it would mean that there is not highest accord between father and son, or that maybe he is not a legitimate son of the father. In the same way, one who is a true child of my will must know what it does and the immense good it produces. To live in my will is exactly this, to keep company to all the acts which my will does. It does not want to live isolated in the midst of creation, but wants the company of the creature, for whom, because it loves her so much, it maintains the order of the whole creation and becomes life of each thing. And when it finds the soul who keeps it company in this life, which it maintains in the whole universe, my will rejoices, makes feast, and feels happy. It finds the one whom it loves and by whom it is loved in return. It finds one to whom it can make known what it possesses, and in its happiness, it narrates to the soul the secrets of its volition, its value, and its surprising effects. But this is the least. As it narrates, it acknowledges it. It acknowledges what it does and what it is. It makes to her a donation of that which it manifests to her. And more than valid deed, it has been knowledge itself to impress in the soul with characters of light the possession of the goods which their knowledge contains. Oh, how beautiful is the sanctity, the power, the immensity of my will, as it associates with the littleness of the human will in the act of keeping it company. It always wants to give. It never stops. It wants to see the littleness become beautiful, rich, powerful. It wants to keep it always close to itself, to be able to give to it always. There is nothing more beautiful, more gracious, more surprising to be seen than a soul who tries to follow the acts of the will of her Creator. There is a continuous contest between them, a reciprocal love, a continuous giving and receiving. Oh, if you knew how rich you are, as many things as you know about my will, so many goods you possess. If you count them, you will get lost and will remain drowned within them. Therefore, be attentive in following the acts of my will, if you want to keep me continuous company."
November 22, 1925. The good which the soul receives by living of divine will. The acts done in it form the dew which covers all creatures. I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition according to my usual way, trying as much as I could to embrace everything in my little lap in order to place my little I love you, my thank you, my adoration, my I bless you upon all created things with the power of the supreme fiat, so as to keep company to this supreme will, which is spread out with so much love throughout creation. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, what does my soul receive by living in this celestial atmosphere of the supreme will? At that moment, my adorable Jesus came out from within my interior and, squeezing me all to himself, told me, my daughter, do you want to know what the soul receives by living in my will? It receives the union of the supreme will with hers. And in this union, my will assumes the role of making her equal to itself. So my will is holy, is pure, is light, and it wants to make the soul pass into its holiness, purity, and light. And if the role of the soul is to live in my will, the role of mine is to give my likeness to the human will in a perfect way. This is why I want you always in it, so that I may not only keep you in its company, but make you grow in its likeness. This is why I feed you the food of its knowledges, to make you grow in a divine manner and with its perfect likeness. And this is why I want you always together with my will, wherever it operates, that it may give you the act of its working, the value which the work of the divine will contains, that you may receive it. When hearing this, I said, my love, your will is everywhere. Therefore, everyone lives in it. Yet not everyone receives this likeness. Jesus added, and so what, my daughter? It is true that all live in my will, because there is not one point in which my will is not, but almost all live in it as foreigners, or as mercenaries, others by force, others as rebellious. These live in it, but do not know it, nor do they know its goods. On the contrary, they are the usurpers of the very life which they have received by my will. Each act of these is a dissimilarity that they acquire between their will and that of their Creator. It is the confirmation of their poverty, of their passions, and of the thick darkness which fills them, in such a way that they are blind to all that is heaven. In order to reach parity with my will, one cannot live as a foreigner, but as a possessor. One who wants to live in it must look at all things as his own and have all the care for them. This is why it is necessary to know it in order to love it and possess it. As beautiful and good as something may be, if it does not belong completely to one who possesses it, it is not loved. It is not esteemed. It is not handled with all the care it deserves. One has always cold eyes in looking at it, and a lifeless heartbeat to love it. On the other hand, if that something belonged to him, he would be all eyes in looking at it, and all heart in loving it. He would esteem it, and would reach the point of making of it an idol for his heart. That thing in itself has not become more beautiful. What it was still is. It hasn't gone through any change. It is the person who went through a change by acquiring it and by keeping it exclusively as his own. Here is what the soul receives by living in my will. She receives it as her own. She possesses it. She feels all its celestial aura, its life of heaven, the likeness of the one who created her. And as she lives in my will, she feels studded with the reflections of her creator. In everything, she feels the power of that fiat, which gives life to all things, and from the sea of the goods she possesses, she says, "How happy I am! The will of God is mine, all mine. I possess it and I love it. Therefore, all the acts done in my will diffuse over all, and all take part in them." See, when you were saying at daybreak, "May my mind rise in the supreme will in order to cover the intelligences of all creatures with your will, so that all may rise in it. And in the name of all, I give you the adoration, the love, the submission of all created intelligences." While you were saying this, a celestial dew poured upon all creatures and covered them, bringing to all of them the return of your act. Oh, how beautiful it was to see all creatures with this celestial dew, which my will formed, symbolized by the night dew which can be found in the morning upon all plants, embellishing them, fecundating them, and preventing those which are about to wither from drying up. With its celestial touch, it seems to give them a touch of life to make them vegetate. How enchanting is the dew at daybreak, but much more enchanting and beautiful is the dew of the acts which the soul forms in my will. And I, yet my love and my life, with all this dew, creatures still do not change. And Jesus, if the night dew does so much good to the plants, unless it falls on dry wood, which is severed from the plants, or upon things which have no life, such that, even if they remain covered with dew, and somehow embellished by it, the dew is as though dead for them, and the sun rises, little by little, it withdraws it from them. Much more good does the dew, which my will makes, descend upon souls, unless they are completely dead to grace. Yet by the vivifying virtue it possesses, even if they are dead, it tries to infuse in them a breath of life. But all the others, some more, some less, according to their dispositions, feel the effects of this beneficial dew. That's encouraging because that dew wasn't available to us till Louisa. And that it seems like during the 1900s is when it got pretty bad. So it's encouraging to me to hear about that beneficial dew. Amen.
Amen.
Very encouraging. We see Louisa, of course, Jesus is using the dew to explain how Louisa's prayers for the whole world are valuable in the divine will. When we pray, when praying in the divine will, we pray, and she prays for the whole world. And he's using that, and it's really encouraging for us to know that how much power and how much benefit the divine will is going to be when so many more people are in the divine will, and encouraging us to be able to be in that position. Just that alone is something great to pray for, you know, to be in the divine will, to be able to. Jesus is very clever the way he uses that too. You know, we can all understand that, you know, get it. And it just motivates us to just go forward and to learn as quickly and as often as we can, but not to get frustrated. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. December 6, 1925. The true living in the supreme will is precisely this. Jesus must find everything and everyone in the depth of the soul, and with her love, everything must be bound in the soul. Communion of goods in the divine will. Example of the starry heavens. I was doing in my interior my usual acts in the supreme volition, embracing all creation and all creatures, in order to make all of their acts my own and requite my God with my little love for everything he has done in creation and for everything that all creatures should do. But while I was doing this, a thought told me, you take so much time in doing this, and what is the good that you do? What is the glory that you give to your God? At that moment, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and stretching out his arms, he seemed to want to embrace everyone and everything. Then raising them up, he offered everything to his celestial Father. And then he said to me, my daughter, the true living in the supreme will is precisely this. I must find everything and everyone in the depth of the soul. Everything that my will has issued in creation for the good of creatures must be bound in the soul with her love. By living in my will and by her requital of love, she is already bound to and in possession of all that my will has done and will do. And she loves as my will loves and can love. So given all this, by her living truly in it and having bound everything to herself, I find in the soul the starry heavens, the refulgent sun, the vastness of the seas, the prairies of flowers. I find everything in her. Therefore, is it not right that the soul, hopping from one thing to another, over all that is mine and hers, recognize it, and that playing upon all created things, she impress on each one of them her kiss and her little I love you, for the one who has created so many things, to give them to creatures as gifts, displaying to man by this a variety of love for as many things as he created, and how he loves that, and how he loves that man be happy, giving him not only what is necessary, but also the surplus. But this is not all. Not only must I find the whole creation, but the true living in my will binds everyone. And therefore, I must find in the soul, as though in act, Adam, holy, as he came out of my creative hands, as well as Adam, guilty, humiliated, and crying, so that she may bind herself to him in the state of sanctity, and taking part in his innocent and holy acts, she may give me glory and make the whole creation smile again. And sharing in his tears with him, she may long for that fiat rejected, which had caused so much ruin. I must find in her the prophets, the patriarchs, the holy fathers, with all their acts. And if those longed for the Redeemer, she will long for my supreme fiat, as the triumph and fulfillment of their sighs. I want to find my inseparable Mama with all her acts, in which my will operated so many portents, having full dominion. I want to find all of myself and all of my acts. In sum, I want to find all things, all that belongs to me, all that my supreme will has done and will do, because these are all things which are inseparable from me, and it is just and necessary that they become inseparable from one who lives in my will. So if I do not find everything, it cannot be said that she lives completely in my will. And in looking at her, I do not find in her all of my things, but I see them scattered outside of the soul. And I cannot receive her requital of love for all that belongs to me. Have I perhaps not created the creature? so that she be a little world and a little God? This is why I always say to you that the living in my will is not yet known. And I keep teaching you now one thing, now another, and I expand your capacity so that all my things and all the good which my will has issued may enter into you. I want to hear you repeat to me your requital of love in everything that belongs to me. I do not tolerate for one who lives in my will not to know all of my things and not to love them and possess them. Otherwise, what would be the great prodigy of loving in my will? After this, my sweet Jesus remained silent, and I wandered in the divine volition. Oh, how I would have wanted to place my loving and grateful kiss upon all created things, and my little I love you on all the supreme acts of the divine volition, so as to remain bound, I to them and they to me, to be able to surround my Jesus in me with all the acts of the eternal will. At that moment, I saw the starry heavens, and my lovable Jesus resumed his speaking. My daughter, look at the heavens. What order, what harmony among the stars. One star cannot be without the other. They are so bound together that each one sustains the other. Each one is the strength of the other. If, may this never be, even a single star moved from its place, there would be such confusion and disorder in the atmosphere that there would be the danger for everything to end up in ruin. So all the beauty of the heavens lies in the stars remaining each one in its place, in the common union and in the communicative and attractive force which they have among themselves, and which, more than electricity, keeps them suspended and bound to one another. Man is the new heaven, more than the heavens above the earth. It can be said that each creature is an animated star. That which the first man, Adam, did, up to the last one who will come, everything was to be in common among them. So man was to possess not his own strength alone, but the strength of all. All goods were to be in common among them. My will, more than electricity, was to bring the bond among them and the communication of all that is good and holy. And even though each man was to do his own office and occupy himself with different actions, since all were to start from the primary point of my will, all were to be converted into light, and therefore each one was to be light for the other. Therefore, my sorrow in seeing this heaven of creatures messed up was so great as to be incomprehensible to human creatures. Once my will was removed, which binds everyone and links everything, entered disorder, confusion, disunion, weakness, darkness. Poor heaven of creatures, it can no longer be recognized. And only the living in my will reorder this heaven again and will make it shine with new light. This is why I tell you that I want to find everyone and everything in you. My will, primary act of all celestial and terrestrial creatures, will bring you the communication of all their acts, and you will remain bound to them, and they to you. So the living in my will encloses everything and everyone. Therefore, be attentive, for I want to give you the greatest thing that exists, but I want from you great things and highest attention. One who gives much, much wants to receive.
Let's take a break for a second.
Okay.
Now go ahead, Deacon. I'll stop it after your comment.
Okay. We hear things that Jesus is telling Louisa that we want to make it that he's talking to us. When we hear him giving her a teaching, so I look at the bottom of the second page. He says, "So if I do not find everything, it cannot be said that she lives completely in my will." We don't like hearing that, do we? We want to be in his will. So, and in looking at her, I do not find in her all the right things. Rather, I see them spread out outside of the soul, and I cannot receive her return of love for all that belongs to me. That's depressing to us. But then we go to the top of the next page. He says, "This is why I always say to you that living in my will is not yet known, and I keep teaching you something now, something else, and enlarging your capacity." So when he's talking to Louisa like this, we can accept that he's talking to us. He's given us a teaching that is very important for us. "So that all of my things and all the good which my will delivered may enter into you, I want to hear you repeat to me your return of love in everything that belongs to me." Another teaching for us, as we want to do, give him a return of love. "And I do not tolerate one who lives in my will, but may not know all of my things and may not love them and possess them. Otherwise, what would be the great prodigy of living in my will?" That's a good teaching for us, and we can take that with us when he's talking to Louisa like that, and he's talking to us. He wants us to know his will and know this divine will teaching. Amen.
I have a friend that says to me every day, "Pray, Jesus, enlarge my capacity to receive your will." So that's what I do, because otherwise I know I'll never get it. But if he enlarges our capacity, then we can accept more and understand it. So that's what I do.
Amen. That's why we come every day here, you know, to enlarge our capacity, whether it's a little bit one morning and an awful lot another morning. But that's why it's so great that we come here every morning to gradually get this teaching.